Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Today's show is brought to you by Gastric Health Club. Sign up for our free 10-day Back on Track Challenge now, beginning September 17th. Just click on the banner on the Gastric Health Show's Facebook page. Hello and welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall and I am your host. We are excited to be back for another episode. And today we're talking about a very popular topic. Should you try a keto diet after weight loss surgery? So this one is very popular right now. So we're going to get into it. But first, these podcasts are not intended for medical advice. They are for educational purposes only. And please check with your healthcare professional before you implement any strategies talked about in our podcasts. We would also love for you to share our podcasts with any of your friends in any of those secret and closed Facebook groups that you're a part of, or just anybody you feel like that might benefit from the information or the content that we have available. We would love for you to share it with those people. And also, we are excited about our next free 10-day Back on Track Challenge. It is beginning on September the 17th, and we are hoping you will join us. So if you just click on the banner in the Gastric Health Show's Facebook page, you should be able to register straight from that. If you're already a member of our Facebook group, Gastric Health Club, there's probably some links in there that you can find. And then if you already follow us on our website at WLSGutHealth.com, you should be able to register right on our website as well. So we would love for you to join us. We have updated the information. So even if you've done a 10-day challenge with us before, I would love for you to join us on this one. You might find that it has some new information in it that might be beneficial to you. So please check it out and sign up now so that you are ready for this challenge. And then if you have not connected with us on Facebook in our closed Facebook group, that's where we have lots of topics and conversations discussed. We do our Facebook Lives every week and we cover relevant material that you will find beneficial to your journey after weight loss surgery. And that's the Gastric Health Club. So if you haven't joined our closed Facebook group, Gastric Health Club, we'd love for you to get on over there and jump in with the rest of us and just start any topic of conversation you want. And it will be fun. So we look forward to you connecting with us there. All right. So let's move right into this topic. And the ketogenic diet, it really is very popular in the weight loss surgery community. Lots of people will ask questions about it. I have some patients when they come in, I feel like they're afraid to talk about it. They're almost embarrassed to talk about it. They kind of give that vibe. They're embarrassed to say that they're doing a keto diet as fear, you know, of what would the dietitian say. So I think my goal with this episode is really not to sway any which way, yes or no. I'm pretty neutral on it. I do use it for things. There are very specific health conditions that it's just known to be beneficial for. But most of our patients are not doing it for those health reasons. Most are doing it for weight loss. And I'm cool with that. I don't think it's a bad thing in any way. And for some patients, it's the right thing. And it is the best thing for their health. And then other people, it is really kind of the opposite. It will make them feel worse and maybe get a little more sick. So So I want to give you kind of just a basics of, you know, what is a ketogenic diet? What are the health benefits of a ketogenic diet? And what are the contraindications of a keto diet? So, you know, when would you not want to do a keto diet? So that way you can make an informed decision on what's best for you. I'm always a believer that we are our own best health advocates, and we know our body the best. We're the only ones living in it. So we need to have a say in what makes the most sense. That doesn't mean you're not going to mess up and you're make the wrong choice and, you know, put pounds on or feel really crappy for 5 months. So that's what I'm hoping, that maybe if I give you this information, that you'll be able to make a good choice, and that you'll see only the benefits from it, and that you'll feel fabulous. Your energy will go through the roof, and your appetite will be controlled, and the pounds will fall off, and it matches. It works. So I think that's where you have to just get the basics and do what makes the most sense. So right now, I would say most people use ketogenic diets for losing weight, increasing energy. I don't know that most of my patients, at least, are going for optimizing your brain function, but that is a popular thing in the general population, that people will use that when they're having things with dementia and Alzheimer's. A higher fat diet will help with that. Even there are some chronic diseases like MS that really pushing that fat will help what's happening in the brain. It's been known for years and used for epileptics using a keto diet. So that evidence is there. So we know that it's definitely beneficial in very specific health conditions. But let's kind of look at, you know, the big picture of what is it and is it really right for you? So a ketogenic diet really is just a very low carb, high fat diet that is triggering the body's natural metabolic process known as ketosis. And ketosis is not a bad thing. And some people will get confused with ketoacidosis, like when you're a diabetic, and it is not that. What a keto diet does, or being in ketosis does, by consuming the very low amount of carbs, you really deprive your body of its natural fuel source, which is glucose or sugar, and that's what it likes to fuel off of. So it then forces your body to burn the stored fat for fuel instead. So it goes from a sugar fuel to a fat fuel, and that's really the difference. And when the stored fat is broken down, your liver produces ketones. So this sends them, the ketones are then sent into the bloodstream where your muscles and your tissue can now use them as fuel. So it will break that down quickly when they know that it's not going to have enough fuel. So ketosis normally occurs in a fasting state, but it also, which I think this is pretty cool, can occur in the absence of glucose and in the presence of medium chain triglycerides, or MCT. So many of you have maybe heard about the MCT oil that is used. This is also found in coconut oil, in coconut in general, but it's found in coconut oil. So that's why it's pretty popular, and it is a very healthy saturated fat. So coconut oil is a saturated fat, and even with the controversies of saturated fats, it still falls in that healthy choice because of this factor. It's a medium chain triglyceride. I also love coconut oil because you bypass the liver. It doesn't require the bile to break it down. So that's a bonus. So ketosis is, you know, great because you're You know, you've decreased the carbs and you're in this ketogenic state, but then also by just adding in this MCT oil or coconut oil, it will help with creating that, give that benefit of ketosis. So that's something to think about. So even just bumping that up, that intake up, can really, you know, benefit your health in different ways. True ketogenic diets are where the carbs are at 5% of your total daily calories. So that it's not very much. So your carbs are 20 grams. Some people are even less than that. And the fat is about 80%. So the fat, you have to be able to really enjoy fats, and you would do healthy fats. So that's where you have to, think differently, because, you know, we've become a fat phobic society over the last several decades because of, you know, some misinterpreted studies. And so now we're trying to pull people out of this fat phobic state and help them start pushing more of it, of the healthy fats. So that you have, it's a hard one to wrap your head around. And I will say that would be hard to maintain for long periods of time. So I think there is a season and a window of time that you could do that for the general population. Unless you have something like MS or seizures, you have an epileptic seizures, or you have some dementia or Alzheimer's, you know, I would push more of a true ketogenic diet where you're getting 80% of your fuel from fat and you're doing very, very little carbs. To me, it'd be worth it. There's even some evidence with cancer. So I think there are times when you would need to do this, even with, you know, when you maybe wouldn't be excited about doing it, but your health requires it. So definitely. And I think for somebody doing it for weight loss, I don't think you would do this long term. Most of the time, this extreme, you would do more of kind of the next phase, more of a pseudo ketogenic diet, which is more of the 15 to 20% of carbs. And then the fat is more like 40 to 60%. The standard American diet has the carbs at 50 to 60% and the fat is more at 20 to 35%. And if you go to like an Ornish diet, which is, you know, like 10%. So it's, you know, one extreme to the other. So, and then a paleo diet, which is pretty popular as well, the carbs are 22 to 40%. And then the fat is more like a 28 to 47%. So that kind of gives you an idea of a true ketogenic diet. Your carbs are very, very low. You're not really eating any carbs per se. And the fat, you have to be doing high fats. And I think a pseudo ketogenic is probably where a lot more people will land longer term. If they're going to do more of a keto diet long term, that's definitely where they would stick the majority of the time. So you have to make sure you're only consuming moderate amounts of protein, because it can kick you out of ketosis. So weight loss surgery patients, this is where I see the mistakes. I see they are still eating tons of protein and fat. So they miss out on the other food groups because of the carbs that are, you know, a part of that, with the fruits and the vegetables. So they do no fruits and vegetables, and they do nothing but meat and fat. And that's where you won't stay in ketosis, and you're not going to be in a true ketogenic diet, and or maybe even a pseudo-ketogenic. You're not even going to be in those numbers because excess protein will be converted to glucose. So eating more is not the answer. So keep that in mind as you are trying to decide where your what percentages you should be falling into. So let's talk about the health benefits of a ketogenic diet. There is solid evidence in the seizures in children. So that we already talked about. There is some research showing potential benefits with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS, even strokes, traumatic brain injuries. And we have found that it is an effective tool for weight loss. There are some programs I have heard that they promote a ketogenic diet once you get further out after weight loss surgery or so many months after surgery. So it's not that it is an effective tool for weight loss. It can improve insulin sensitivity, making it ideal for anyone who is type 2 diabetic. So I do love doing this with my diabetics. And when their A1C is creeping up or I see their glucose is rising on their labs when we're checking, I'm like, cut the sugars, cut the carbs, increase the fat. And that is kind of just a good way to get people moving in the right direction. There is a study out of the University of Michigan that found eating 3 low-carb meals within 24 hours reduced insulin resistance by more than 30%. So just cutting the carbs in general and eating more healthy fats and not even hitting a certain number, you don't necessarily have a macro that you're counting. You're just making good whole real food choices and you're not eating a ton of carbs. You're avoiding the excess carbs and you're really focusing on, you know, eating some a moderate or small amount of protein, you're eating at least some type of green vegetable and a small amount of fruit. Not much, but a small amount of fruit in a day. It provides different nutrition and you can't get that from proteins, fats, or vegetables. So it's not that you want to avoid them 100%. You just have to weave them in and do them, you know, on a daily basis, but not extremes. So if you are struggling with maybe diabetes has returned or you've never gotten it under control 100% after weight loss surgery, you may find that, you know, just cutting the carbs and increasing your healthy fats does the trick. And that would be worth it, in my opinion, regardless if you went ketogenic or not. Some studies have shown that depriving your body of glucose by adopting a very low to no carb diet, you are essentially starving cancer cells, which feed off of glucose. So I know that is kind of, this area is a little bit controversial and they got, you know, there's evidence on both sides. So I think it's, to me, you go, if you're there, if you have a cancer diagnosis, I think I would go for trying it. And there definitely be no harm in my book of, I shouldn't say harm, who knows, I guess, is you're being monitored by your doctors. So I think having that conversation with your doctor about, you know, cutting out the carbs and glucose and really cranking up the fats and have that conversation and get help. Seek help elsewhere if they don't have any knowledge of it. Find somebody that can help you. And there's another study back in 1987 that was able to show that a ketogenic diet resulted in reduced tumor growth. So right there is kind of showing some good evidence that there's potential for improving a cancer diagnosis with just making changes in your diet. So now let's talk about contraindications of a keto diet. So why would it not work for everybody? So here are some things to think about. If you have thyroid disease or thyroid dysfunction, so hypothyroidism would probably be the most popular, but they do find, particularly in women that have hypothyroid, they don't do well on keto. So keep that in mind. If you already have this autoimmune disease and you want to try a keto diet, you may find that you don't feel great on it and you actually go backwards on your health because your body just can't handle it. So keep that in mind, but maybe adopt a strategy where you just do lower carbs and more healthy fats, and it's not maybe an actual keto diet where you are extreme. It's just you're just getting rid of the excess carbs, especially those packaged, processed, prepared, refined carbs, sugars. You're getting rid of artificial, of course, artificial sweeteners, but that's not going to keep you out of ketosis by having them. But also getting rid of the junk, the snacky crackers and the chips and breads and grains, and all those will help maybe just be enough for you. Then also perimenopausal women also kind of struggle with a keto diet because hormones are not always in balance, and those fluctuations in the hormones make it really hard to do a ketogenic diet. And then also, if you have blood sugar drops, that can also, you know, if you're finding that your body is reacting negatively because you're having the fats and the proteins are different and the sugar intake is different and your body is pretty adapted to glucose, and you start having a low blood sugars, or you kind of have a history of low blood sugars, you may want to use caution if trying to adopt a ketogenic diet. It just depends. We do see frequently those blood sugar drops in patients, especially 12 to 18 months seems to be a very popular time when we start having some hypoglycemia episodes. That doesn't mean that a ketogenic diet couldn't work. It just means that you really have to pay attention. And if you aren't feeling better or you're having them more frequently, then you may want to stop. But if you find that it actually improves your blood sugar balance because it's stabilizing, the fats are stabilizing, then, you know, that would work for you. So you just really have to base it on you as an individual. But keep that in mind. Frequent blood sugar drops may not work for you. Major stress on your adrenal glands. So you may need to address your stress first. So if you are already stressed to the max and you know it, and you're always stressed out and you are always on the go, 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 and you never have downtime, and you're just always, you know, upset and you feel frazzled and you're just worried and you just don't have, you know, balance in your life, then you might want to fix that first before you jump into a ketogenic diet. I've had some patients that they were a mess in their stress level, and they went on a ketogenic diet and they kept going regardless of their body giving them signals they weren't doing well, and it took them over 5 months to correct all the problems. So, you know, you just have to really listen. If you start having signs and symptoms, then you need to listen to your body because it's trying to tell you that this is not a good time or working for you. And then no gallbladder. If you do not have a gallbladder, it's not that you can't do it. You may find that doing a high-fat meal, it might go through you very quickly. So that's where you might need to support with some digestive enzymes, and they need to make sure they have some ox bile. If you get on our website, the Gastric Health Club store, so WLSgutHealth.com, we have our Gastric Health Club store. And we have some great digestive enzymes that work fabulous on our patients and that has the ox bile in it that can help support the digestion of fats. So it what ox bile does, or what bile in general does, is it emulsifies the fat. So think of like your dish detergent. And when you have water and fat, if you take a drop of dish detergent, and if you have a glass of water where you've poured some oil in it, and then you do a drop of dish detergent and it kind of breaks it all apart, that's what bile is doing. It is emulsifying that so that your body can take now those little particles and break it down to even smaller particles and to individual fatty acids so that you can get them in your bloodstream and uptake them to all your cells and do their job. So no gallbladder doesn't mean you can't do a keto diet. It just means you might have to adapt it a little bit, or be careful about how much fat you're doing at a meal. You may find that you can't do, you know, a super high fat. So I'll give you an example. Say breakfast, you had some eggs, and with, you know, like a soft cooked egg with a runny yolk, you had some uncured bacon, and you had some avocado, you may find that goes right through you. And that's because of the no gallbladder, that it's too much fat for your liver to handle, to be able to have enough bile to break down all of the fats. So that's where digestive enzymes would help you and support that process. So I would definitely consider that if you already don't have a gallbladder. And then also something to consider is that the keto diet is hard on the liver, because it is primarily the liver that metabolizes the fat for energy. So it's what's making the ketones. So your liver is having to do extra work during a keto diet. So you would definitely want to support that. And you can support it with supplements like milk thistle, alpha linoleic acid, N-acetyl cysteine. Those are some that you can do. There's even dandelion root tea. You can also do a tea, you know, that's just an herbal tea that's dandelion root, and that will support your liver and help support the detoxification process. So it's, you know, keeping it all that moving well so that you don't have issues. So hopefully that makes sense and gives you some options to give a keto diet a try. I'm totally for it most of the time, but not 100%. So I think you just really have to listen to your body, and you have to not ignore these contraindications. If you are in that phase, or you have this autoimmune disease, or you're stressed all the time, or whatever those things, you need to be careful of moving forward with a keto diet. And then if you really don't have any of those issues, then, you know, I would say there's, it's not a bad thing to give it a try, and you can decide, maybe I'll do a true ketogenic, or maybe I'll do more like a pseudo ketogenic diet where I'm doing, you know, not as extreme, and I'm in ketosis, but I'm not in extreme ketosis. So I think it really, you know, you are the best person to make that choice based on your health conditions, on what you need. But if you're just doing it for weight loss, I think find your balance, because doing it long term, it's hard for people to do a true ketogenic diet long term. So I think, you know, whole real foods, you're never going to go wrong with that. And you're never going to go wrong with really just boosting healthy fats. So if you can't tolerate a full true keto, no big deal. Just at least boost your healthy fats and decrease your carbs. Make sure you're getting some good quality proteins, and make sure you're eating fruits and vegetables every day of the whole stuff, whole real food, vegetables and fruit, and not eating anything that's, you know, been packaged and processed and prepared for you, and you'll be fine. And that will allow you to, hit your goals with your weight loss. So I hope this has helped you, and I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook group. So get on over to the Gastric Health Club and join us in the topics of conversation there. We have Facebook Lives that you can join in as well. So feel free to join us there and ask any questions. So if you have questions on more questions on the ketogenic diet, let's start the conversation and get everyone involved. So we would love for you to join us for the Back on Track Challenge, the 10-day free Back on Track Challenge on September 17th. And we hope you will join us. Just click on the banner on the Gastric Health Show's page, or find the link in the Gastric Health Club, and we would love to have you join us for this next free challenge. So you guys have a great week, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.